And good morning. I'm Jeff, and again, this is The People Speak. State Representative David Freese with us. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Things pretty busy right now?
Yes, actually, we're back in session. We just adopted rules this past weekend. Obviously, we didn't agree with all the rules. The Democrats run the show, so they get to adopt the rules. So, yeah.
We got a couple big topics we'll talk about here in a minute, but I'll tell you what, let's go ahead and get this break out of the way. And we will come back and talk with State Representative David Freese. We'll be back here right after this. Welcome back again. This is The People Speak. I'm Jeff, and it is 9:33. We're talking with State Representative David Freese. And Representative, one thing we were talking about a little bit offline there, one of the big bills, obviously, that's or big things, it's not a bill anymore, it's actually a law that was passed, but it's got some controversy going in the state, is the assault weapons ban, I guess, I hate to call it assault weapons because there is really no,
Right. Anyway. And actually, I prefer not to use assault weapons ban because I don't like using their language. It is a gun ban, I think the easiest and best way to put that. And obviously, you know, there's, if you have followed the news, there have been numerous court cases challenging the gun ban. One of them is in Effingham County, and they have upheld, the appellate court is upheld the temporary restraining order. Unfortunately, that's just for those named plaintiffs. And my understanding, that we got another favorable ruling in White County last couple days. So it'll work its way through the court. I know there are numerous cases that will be filed in federal court, Southern District of Illinois. And eventually, I'm sure it'll work its way up to the Supreme Court.
At which point, that's whenever actual change could take place, then.
That is correct. Now, I think the federal court cases will ask for TROs that will affect everybody within the entire state, not just any named plaintiff. So hopefully when we have rulings on that, you know, that'll be a little clearer. But, you know, everybody has asked, well, what do I do in the meantime? And what I've been telling people, and other legislators have been telling people, is you don't have to do anything between now and January 1st of next year. So just relax for now, and let's let the court process play its way out, and hopefully it'll make its way quickly to the court system and be held unconstitutional.
Right. And it's like I was saying, and I know I've heard other people say as well, and that the law in itself is not going to stop anything.
No, it's not. As we discussed offline, every Monday morning, I come into my office and I go through my news feed, and unfortunately, inevitably, there is a headline on how many people were shot and killed in Cook County, you know, city of Chicago. This gun ban does nothing, absolutely nothing, to address that problem. And, you know, people are like, well, what do we do then? You know, one of the things we get to do is, I think we, you know, one, we need to address mental illness. You know, I don't know that that's adequately been addressed. Obviously, nobody wants somebody that is seriously mentally ill to have a firearm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm all about safety. I'm a gun guy. I try and teach my kids on the proper way to use firearms. It is all about safety.
And, I mean, that's one of the things I remember, you know, as a kid in school, it was more or less, I believe, almost mandated, was a hunter safety class. I mean, living in Southern Illinois, you know, hunting is pretty common, and, you know, they get to teach you how to do it safely, what you need to do, what you don't want to do.
Exactly. And first and foremost, obviously, you have a firearm, whatever it is. You always treat that firearm as if it's a loaded weapon, and, you know, don't point it at anybody. And just, you know, common sense. You know, I do some hunting. I take my kids hunting. We even do some trap shooting periodically, get the kids out to do a little target practice. It's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. It is.
You know, talking about the AR-15 in particular, a lot of people, you know, have those as a sport rifle. It also is a home defense rifle. You know, people say, oh, well, it's big and scary looking. Well, maybe in that case, if someone breaks into your house and you have one of those, big and scary is going to stop them before you ever have to do anything else.
Yeah, and again, that unfortunately what happens is you'll have a shooting where an AR-15 may have been the weapon of choice for that individual. But as a general rule, more people are shot with handguns than any type of hand, any other type of gun. Right.
An AR is a little hard to conceal.
True. Yes. You know, your bad guys run around downtown Chicago. Don't run around with ARs or any long gun.
Right.
Fact.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I can tell you the other thing is, I guarantee it, they probably don't have a valid FOID card, and they don't have a concealed carry card. So the lesson there is, you know, bad guys are going to do bad things, and they're going to do it in an illegal manner.
Exactly. And like I said, you know, I mean, if they were successful ever in the future of banning all guns and getting rid of them, then people are going to find other things. You've got arrows, you've got slingshots, you've got rocks.
Well, if banning or outlawing things fix problems, you know, we have laws on the books right now, methamphetamines, illegal, fentanyl, illegal, yet... You know, what do we got pouring across our southern border? Fentanyl, you know, by the truckload. We have people dying in our streets every day from fentanyl overdose. Or they've actually called it fentanyl poisoning now, because it's being put in things that are not identified as fentanyl. So simply banning a substance or banning a particular weapon is not going to fix this problem.
Right. And mentioning the border, how is that? Is that having much of an effect in this area around here? And
well, it does when it comes to drugs. Absolutely. You know, you turn on the news every day and you see what is coming across our southern border. You know, 99% of the people that come across our southern border are probably good, hardworking people. They just want to work. You know, they want a better life for them and their family and their kids. Okay, I get that. I understand that. It doesn't make it legal. But in conjunction with that, you've got, there is unfortunately a bad element in the borders are open in the sense that fentanyl is just streaming across our southern border. I as an attorney, I can tell you from working in Randolph County, we have more cases where DCFS is involved with kids where their parents are using illegal drugs, and it breaks my heart.
Right. Having been a coroner myself and seen the end results of some drug use and that, it's like, it's not worth it, you know.
It's not. You know, think about it. You got parents who are using illegal drugs. DCFS comes in, takes your kid away from you because you're using illegal drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these people cannot get off and stay off drugs long enough to get their kids back.
Yeah, that like I said, some of those, they say when they get hooked on it, it's next to impossible to get off of it. I mean, the system just
becomes
used to it and it craves it. So we got another break here. Let's go ahead and throw that in real quick, and we'll come back and talk some more with State Representative David Freese. We'll be back right after this. Got about 10 minutes left in the program today, talking with State Representative David Freese, and we covered the gun bill pretty well, and not a whole lot we can say on that right now. It's just kind of a wait and see.
Correct.
At this point, some things around here, you were just recently over at SIU talking with some ag students in that.
Yeah. So Terry Bryant and I, we were invited down, Senator Bryant, we were invited down to speak to some ag students down at SIU Carbondale. Some great conversations with the ag business and where that is going. It's my understanding, just like a lot of fields, there's more jobs than our employees. It's growing. It's the number one business in the state of Illinois, it's growing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just need to make sure that we educate the people that want to go into that business and provide them the opportunity that they want and help them in that business just like every other business.
Right. I mean, obviously, anyone that's grown up in southern Illinois knows agriculture is about the main business down here.
Yes. Yeah. You drive from here to Springfield and in Chicago, there's not a lot of, you know, a lot of sight to see unless you like cornfields and wheat fields and bean fields, which I do. You know, having grown up in the area, I really love the area.
And I know going up to Springfield, you get up a little bit, even we think we've got a lot of fields right here. There's some huge fields up around that area.
Oh, yeah, and it's a prime, you know, tillable ground, nice and flat, and farmers love that. You know, one of the things that we talked about yesterday was the fact that what is happening as a result of the green energy programs that the state has implemented. You know, Baldwin Power Plant is supposed to shut down in 2025. If you're going to replace the energy that Baldwin puts out, you need 15 square miles of solar panels. That translates into 9,600 acres, okay? Now, the problem with that is, obviously, you take that land out of production. And Baldwin, okay, Baldwin runs 24/7. It generates power 24/7. You know, even if you have 15 square miles of solar panels, that doesn't generate electricity 24/7. The wind's got to shine, you know, and you only do it during daylight hours. Mm-hmm. You know, my understanding, on any given day, you only have 4 or 5 hours of prime daylight to generate electricity. So you're probably going to have to triple that area. And then now you've got to provide battery storage. So what happens, you know, you have these farmers that are taking, you know, prime tillable ground out of production to input a solar farm. And so what's that going to do to our cost of grain? If you take that out, you know, the cost of grain will probably grow up. That means the Cheerios that you eat for breakfast are probably going to go up, you know, and the cost of feeding livestock is going to go up because a large portion of that grain goes to feed our livestock. So, you know, another unintended consequences of our green energy policy.
Yeah, and it's like I've said before, I'm not against it, but it is not at a position at this point where it is feasible. There is not enough infrastructure out there in it to transition over.
Right, and that's my philosophy as well. You know, I'm of the philosophy we should do all the above. Mm-hmm. Okay, you know, wind, solar, gas, coal. Obviously, we have coal in this region. I do not want to see that end. I love coming home, turning the light switch on, and my lights come on.
Exactly.
You know, if it's cold outside, like kicking the heat up. You know, same in the summertime. And unfortunately, right now, we're just not there technologically wise to replace coal and natural gas with wind and solar. It's just not there.
A good example is California. I mean, their governor out there is very green energy oriented in that, and the state has gone that direction.
Very progressive.
One of the states where you're constantly hearing about brownouts. You know, I mean, other states where they're still run by coal-powered plants and stuff aren't experiencing the brownouts.
Right. And my understanding is that is conversations that we've had with regards to our local energy grid as well. At some point in time, there will probably not be sufficient energy on the grid to sustain everything that we've got. And we will probably have rolling brownouts or blackouts within a few years, unless something happens, you know, and we're able to replace, like Baldwin, if it goes offline. We've got to have enough energy to replace that.
Right. I mean, with the push for electric cars, too. I mean, if you figure everyone driving a gas-powered car now buys an electric car, they plug it in at night when they go in, the power that's going to be drawn from that.
Yes. Yeah. And I remember there's, you know, you mentioned, you know, California and Gavin Newsom. I remember they were talking about, okay, do not plug your cars in between these certain hours. Well, because everybody was running their AC. You know, because they didn't wanted you to plug your cars in,
right,
you know, on those non-peak hours. And so that's what we're going to be faced with here in the new future unless we, you know, figure something out.
Right. So another one, the gas tax, of course, that was suspended last year as part of the COVID packages, I guess, the government put out. That came back on 1st of January along with the additional one, the one for 2023.
Correct. Yeah. And, you know, the cost of everything is going up. You know, obviously we're a border state and a lot of people, they go to Missouri. Mm-hmm. I see them all the time. You know, I go down to the courthouse. There is a constant stream across that bridge, Chester, people going across the river to get gas and cigarettes. It's amazing. The gallon of gas doesn't cost anymore. What it is, it's a tax that makes it so daggum expensive.
Exactly. I mean, what is Illinois tax? That's around 40, 50.
I think it's more than that. I'd have to check.
Yeah.
I think it's close to 50 cents.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think the last I saw Missouri was around 19 or something like that. So it's just a considerable difference when you figure per gallon.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it adds up, especially if you drive a larger vehicle. Mm-hmm. Or if you're, think about it, if you're a trucking industry, you know, you've got to get your product to, you know, from wherever you're making it to market, and you're buying diesel, that adds a, you know, cost to your product.
Right. Back in 2019, I sat down one time and went through my bank account, took out all the gas purchases, added them up for the month, and I come up with just a little over 200. Recently, I did that again, and I come up with 425.
Oh, I would be scared to do that because I drive everywhere all the time.
Yeah, it's a, I don't know. I mean, it's something we have to deal with, but yet, again, and as far as I know, they said the tax increase was to go towards the roads. I'm not seeing a lot here in Southern Illinois.
I'm not either at the moment. I know, and I actually just had a conversation with some people with IDOT. They have a, 5 and 10 year plan.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, and I've seen this with numerous projects, is the projects were bid pre-COVID, mm-hmm. and they come in at a certain dollar amount. And well, now we're post-COVID, and the supplies and materials have jumped. So now they price themselves out of that job, and right. They have to be rebid. So they've got to go back. They've got to make some adjustments. I know there's roads in our district that need a lot of attention. I have conversations with IDOT on a regular basis on when certain things are going to get done.
Right. Anything new on the 4-lane?
No. Terry, Bryant, and I were just talking about that yesterday. And that project is that, if you want to call it a project or idea, has been out there for decades.
Mm-hmm.
There are people that are very supportive of it. Carbondale is, SIU Carbondale is. There's other areas that are not as keen on it, shall mm-hmm. we say. It's a work in progress. It's a work in progress.
Right. I know some of the bypasses, it would relieve some congestion, like Red Bud, your four-way stop there, that can get real with the trucks trying to make the turns and everything there.
Again,
too, it'll take some of the traffic away from your downtown area, which will affect your commerce.
Yeah. Well, a great example is Pickneyville. I don't mm-hmm. know if you've been to Pickneyville. See, they've got that area right there in front of the courthouse, and IDOT has made they're in the process of making some really good improvements to that area mm-hmm. because of the same, thing. You had trucks coming through all the time. It wasn't safe, and, I would not be opposed to seeing some of that stuff in Chester or Redbud because, like you said, you get multiple trucks at that four-way. Mm-hmm. It really bottlenecks everything up.
Right. Yeah. I grew up in Pinckneyville, and I go over there now, and it's like, it doesn't look like the same town here. You got the buildings they've got all tore down there. Of course, some due to fire, some due to just.
And I think when that project is completed, I think the citizens they'll enjoy that. It's going to be a huge improvement.
Right. Just a few seconds left here in the program. Anything else you wanted to throw in or?
Really appreciate the support getting through the election. It's now the 115th, not the 116th.
Yeah, we'll have to remember that. I'll forget that.
Yeah, when I was in Carbondale yesterday, they had that name plaque and they had 116th on it still. So, I just really enjoyed it. It's an honor and a privilege to serve the citizens of Southern Illinois. Really enjoy it.
All right, Representative, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to you again in the near future.
Yeah, look forward to it.
All right. For the People Speak, I'm Jeff. We will talk to you tomorrow. Have a great day.